keeping her locked up. That's my story. I'm going to tell it just like I want to. But before I came, I had to indulge in some stuff that would give me a little, calm me down a little bit, a little nerve medicine, I'm going to call it. I think Stephanie will agree with me on this, that water is the most essential element in life. Because without it, you can't make coffee. So that it was my salvation today. Tell you, I'm going to talk about what can I do? Me, as an individual, what can I do? Well, you might say, well, I'm just one person. There's not much that one person can do. Yeah, maybe. Maybe not. And then you kind of say, well, I have got no time to do anything. I'm busy. There's just no time left in my day to get anything done. Well, I got good news for all of you. The Holy Ghost told me on the way up here tonight that as of today, as of right now, He's going to give each and every one of you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 and one quarter days a year. So you're going to have plenty of time to get anything done. Now, all He wants is His 10%, which is going to be 2.4 hours. The good news is you ain't got to do them every day. You can save them up and do them once, twice a week. And that's the same thing. He'll be glad to accept that. Then you might say, well, I've got no talents. Oh, yeah, you do. Ain't a one of you in here can't talk. Now, don't tell me you all of a sudden develop lockjaw because I ain't going to believe it. I have heard every one of you in here yap and yap until my ears is about to fall off. So I know you can talk, every one of you. And that's one thing you got the talent to do. You also got other talents that you may not even consider. Some of you can sing. I can't even tote the bucket with the tune in it, but some of you can sing. And that's your talent for you to do. Some of you got musical talents. You can play some kind of musical instrument. I can move a piano. That's about it. That's the extent of my musical talents. But there's a lot of things I can't do. So I don't concentrate on what I can't do. I can't tell colors. You think David's colorblind, he can see everything there is compared to what I see. Because I'm the most colorblind person you'll ever meet. I don't do colors. I go out and get dressed to come to church, and Barbara say, you ain't wearing that, you go change. So, okay, I mean, it fit, why can't I wear it? That's my method of colors. If it fits, I wear it. So I don't do work on the color portion of it. That's something y'all handle. I can't do a lot of different things, but some things I can do. I can get up before a bunch of people and say, I love Jesus. I don't care whether they like that or not. Called out on the search today, and I called the people and tell them that they had found this girl. And one girl went praising the Lord right then and there. She didn't care what anybody thought. She praised the Lord. Everywhere she goes, she praises the Lord. She's a good example for all of us to follow in that line. But now I'm going to tell you something you probably didn't know. You don't need talent. God's got a job lined up for every one of us. You don't need talent to go out and do the job He's got lined up. Because if you need something, He'll give it to you. All of a sudden, He'll give it to you. And anybody that's ever gotten before a group to talk about something, when you finish, you wonder, where'd that come from? I didn't have that on my paper. I don't remember saying that. Well, you didn't. The Holy Ghost did. He just said it through you. He will use you in different ways. But God's going to come up and say to you one time, said, I want you to do something. Give you a good example of it. Both of these time and the talent thing that I was just talking about. About 8 years ago, maybe 10, I don't remember now, had a boy come in here and talk to the crowd. Name was Danny Williams, one of David's friends, about doing a prison ministry. Well, Danny was not a nice boy in his time. I mean, I talked to some people that knew him, and they said, you didn't mess with Danny. So if you like living, you left him alone, because Danny was bad news. But he come in here, and he talked to us about how somebody had come to the prison and talked to them, and he heard him when he talked. And the words that he said went into Danny's heart, and Danny turned his life around. And he talked about the importance of someone going and telling these people that Jesus loves them. And I remember sitting back over there and I said, yeah, that's something important. This church needs to be involved in it. And I think we should get involved in it. And I think he should do it. And then the Holy Ghost said, do it. Well, now that was low enough. I made out like I didn't hear it. I said, yeah, I think that he would be the perfect one, and this, we need to do it, and I'm going to encourage him to go up there and do that. And the Holy Ghost said again, he said, do it. Heard him that time. I mean, I couldn't make out like I didn't, so I pulled my Moses imitation. I said, I ain't got the time. I ain't got the talents. I can't get out there and do that in front of a bunch of strangers. So there's no way I can do that. And the Holy Ghost says, boy, I don't know how he talks to y'all. He talks to me a little different. He said, boy, I give you 4 Thursday nights a month. I want one of them back. You got a problem with that? No, sir. No, sir. We got no problem with that. So I didn't have the time. He showed me how to where the time was. And I find out, yeah, I did have the time. People are going to do whatever is important to them. If it's important to you, you're going to do it. If taking care of the animals is important to you, you're going to do it. If running a pet ministry is important to you, you're going to find the time to get it done, whatever it is. If it's writing a recipe book, you'll find the time. The human animal finds the time to do whatever the human animal wants to do. If you don't believe it, ask a deer hunter if he has time to go hunting. And he's going to, any kind of hunter, they're going to say, yeah, I got the time. Ask a woman if she got time to go shopping. Yes, she'll drop everything to go shopping. We got time to do what we want to do. So that's not an excuse. The talent will be provided for you. When you need it, it'll be there. I didn't say you're not going to be nervous about it, you're not going to be scared about it, because the first time that iron door slammed behind us, you talk about fear. But we had an overabundance of it that night, because there was 2 iron gates that slammed behind us as we went in. And you're in there with 15, 20 people, and they ain't there for missing Sunday school, okay? And you're thinking to yourself, you know, if they was to jump us, by the time the guards got in here, we'd be bloody messes on the floor. Holy Ghost will protect you. He'll take care of you. Whatever comes along, he can handle it. Because my first talk, I'm going to get into a little bit here. First talk I did, David's eyes got about as big as those collection plates. But there was one guy in there that was Somalian, he could... Well, with both of the doors open, he could get through them. With one of them, he'd have problems. He was a big boy. David just knew that he was going to kill us. But he didn't, because the Holy Ghost protected us that night. Now, you're going to ask yourself, how can God use somebody like me? I mean, look at all the people in the Bible that he used. They were upright. I mean, they were almost perfect. Wait a minute. Let's take a look at some of them. Well, there was Moses. He was one of the mighty men, right? He didn't do nothing wrong. Well, except for that little thing about that murder stuff. Other than that, he didn't do nothing wrong, except for the fact that he didn't know who God was. But he still didn't do nothing wrong till he went out in the desert and made out like he didn't know anything about God until he saw the burning bush. All of a sudden, he knew who God was. and God had meaning in his life. So when God told him, go into Egypt and bring my people out, he said, yeah, Lord, I'm ready to go, right? Better read the book. I counted 7 excuses. Yeah, I'm using the correct fingers, Billy. 7 excuses why he couldn't do it. Still, he finally went. God got mad at him because I got tired of listening to all the excuses. But he finally went out. Then there was King David, man after God's own heart. Read Book of Psalms. Everything he did, he screwed up. There ain't much he did right. How in the world could somebody that does so much wrong be after God's own heart? I wondered that until I finally sat down and read a little bit further. Every time David screwed up, he got down on his knees and asked for forgiveness. That's what made him a man after God's own heart. And because he then would start get back on the right path for a little ways and go down, he was able to do some good. Till he fell off the wagon again and had to get down on his knees and ask for forgiveness. Which would seem to be, from if you read Psalms, and on a regular basis. That's how God can use us, because David ain't no better than we are. Moses won't know better than we are. They were just like us. They've messed up half of what they done. In David's case, most of what he did. But still, how can he use me? Well, there was one boy in the Bible that was bad to the bone. I mean, he was worse than anything else out there. You could come in and have this church filled with people and standing room only, and you could shout his name, and before the echo died in this room, you'd be standing here by yourself because everybody else done left. They were that scared of him. He was that bad. They would run and hide from him. He'd come in. He was responsible for murdering and imprisoning many, many Christians, everyone he could find. He had an open search warrant, said he could go anywhere, anytime, and if he thought you was a Christian, you were toted off in chains, and your family never heard from you again. They didn't know if you were dead or alive. You were just gone. Now, did God use a man like that? Yeah. Yeah, he did. He used him. We know him as the Apostle Paul, wrote 2/3 of the New Testament. Of course, most of it was written from behind prison walls, but still, he wrote 2/3 of the New Testament. That's what kind of man God was able to use. Ain't none of us ever done anything like these people have. So God can use us too. All you have to do is say, Lord, here I am, use me. I'm available. But I don't say it unless you mean it, because when you say that, he's going to say, okay, this is what I want you to do. And he's going to tell you exactly what he wants you to do. You may or may not like it, but he's going to tell you what he wants you to do. Then there was one boy. He gives me a little bit of hope, because he was one of the bravest men in the Bible. He was nobody special, but he was a God-fearing man. And when God told Ananias to go take the scales off Saul of Tarsus' eyes, now he didn't jump up and run right, go do it right then. I can just see him now when the Lord told him that. He said, Lord, do what? You want me to do what? I said, Lord, I know who that man is. I've heard of him. If I go there, I'm going to die, because he's going to kill me. Because I'm a Christian, he's going to kill me. The Lord told him again, go take scales off of his eyes. So he went. And I'm sure he wasn't skipping and singing as he went. He was saying, I'm going to die. But he went and he did it anyway, because God told him to. And when he did what God told him, he got blessed for it. Because every time you do what God tells you, you're going to be blessed. Somehow, some way, something's going to bless you. If the prisoners that are at detention center get half as much out of our talks as we do, they're very blessed. Because when we go, we get the blessing. And we hope and pray that some of it gets put off on them. But just remember Ananias, whenever you got to have to do something, God tells you to do. Ananias didn't want to do it either. Neither did Moses, neither did David, neither did Paul. None of them wanted to do what God told them, but they did it. And of all of them, Ananias was probably the bravest one because he knew he was facing death, there was no doubt in his mind. But still, he went out and he did what God told him. Now, we've all heard David talk a whole lot about boots on the ground in the past. You got to have boots on the ground. Well, that's a military terminology, and it means you occupy ground. You don't own it until you occupy it, until you put people down there to occupy the land. That's what we call boots on the ground. We're all part of God's army, and God needs boots on the ground. But not just empty boots, and these feet in them boots, they can go out and get something done and get his work done, to spread his word, to go out and minister to other people, to help them. I mean, if they're hungry, you feed them because they ain't going to listen much on an empty stomach. If you don't believe it, forget to cook one night and see how your better half feels about it. They're going to remind you that they ain't interested in the fact that you don't feel good that night. They're hungry. And they've used to eating them three times a day. And they want you to get out there and fix something. We all need to do the work God has assigned to us. And if you don't know what it is, ask him. He'll tell you. Holy Ghost ain't going to hold back. He'll let you know. It might be quiet or it might sound like Mr. T. Depending on how he has to talk to you to get your attention. But he will get your attention. And when he does, listen to what he says. Just like y'all remember, Stanley Jones was a preacher here. Stanley went home one time, the Holy Ghost was talking to him, and he didn't have time to listen. He got a wreck, broke his leg, was laid up for 3 months. Guess what he had time to do? Listen. So he would listen and finally got around to doing what the Holy Ghost told him to do to start with. So don't make him have to break your leg to get your attention to where you can sit down and listen to him. If you go back in the Old Testament, you will read about how Israel turned its back on God. Time after time after time. And what happened every time they turned their back on God? Well, God turned it back on them and they failed. They went into captivity. Their society disintegrated. A lot of bad things happened. Then they turned back around to God and they'd be raised up again. Then they'd go a little further and turn their back on God. Down again they went. Many, many times that happened. I want you to go back and read about some of that and then compare it to the United States today. I used to think, you know, that's the old Bible stuff. It don't fit today. Yeah, it do. It fits today just like it was written last week. See what happened to the Jews when they turned back on God. And look what's happening to us today because we've turned our back on God. We kicked him out of school, replaced him with cops and metal detectors. We took the Ten Commandments down off the courtroom walls because it said, thou shalt not kill and thou shalt not steal. Those are things we don't want our children learning. We don't want our public exposed to. Let's put God first. Let's try that. We've tried kicking him out and we've seen what that happened to us. Insanity is doing the same thing over and over, expecting a different result. Every time the Jews threw God out, they fell. So we thought if we threw God out, we would rise. Guess what? We didn't. We proved that what they did was going to hold again because we failed. And we're still falling. But we've got to bring him back. We've got to turn this country around and get it going in the right direction or we're going to no longer exist. We're going to go from the greatest nation in the world to the very bottom. And that's up to us. We can change it, but we have to do something in order to get it changed. It ain't going to change itself. We got to be willing to go out and talk to people and put God back into this country. The boys that wrote the Constitution were pretty smart boys for homeschool. But they weren't smart enough to write what they did. They were smart enough to ask for help. And when they asked for it, they got it. And they wrote what he told them to write. And that's how we got this Constitution. A lot of people will tell you out there that you can't do this and you can't do that and so forth. But I got news for you. You can't stop me from praying. You can't stop me from worshiping the Lord. You can't stop me from using the name of Jesus. Oh yeah, you can beat me, but they beat him. You can kill me, they killed him. Before my blood runs cold on this ground, I'll be in his arms. I'm going to win any way you look at it. I'm going to come out ahead. That's what we need to look at it. We're going to come out ahead because he's always with us. He's always there to protect us. And if something happens and we do die, then we're going to be with him that much quicker. We possess the mightiest assault weapon this country has ever known, each and every one of us. With that assault weapon, we can take over this country. We can overthrow the government we have, and we can throw the bums out, and we can hire the people we need to work for us. And nobody can take that assault weapon away from you yet. That assault weapon is known as the vote. You got it. And it's not only your privilege to vote, it's your responsibility. Because if you don't vote, you help elect a sorry son of a gun that's up there. If you do vote, then you're working on changing something to get this country headed back to where it needs to be. And if you don't know who to vote for, ask the Holy Ghost. He'll tell you. He'll say, you vote for this one, or you vote for that one. He'll tell you. But if you look out there now, we got everything that you want to think of, from the far left to the far right, so, and a couple in between. So we got something in there that fits whatever the ideology that you have and can work on it. In closing, and it's going to be a short one tonight. In closing, I want you to get your Bibles out and go to the 23rd Psalm. And as we read this, I want you to think about what it says and think about what it's going to mean to you. I'm using David's Bible because the letters are bigger than mine. I can see them a little bit better. Okay. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Next time everything starts going wrong, everything comes down on you, and you wonder how in the world you're going to live through this, read that. He's with you. Always, all the time, regardless of what's going on, he's there. And he's going to take care of us. Which is mighty good because we really need taken care of. I'm going to keep this from next time I have to come up here, Eddie. But I thank you for everybody for being here tonight. I thank you for listening. Hopefully I won't too boring somebody. Wake Stephanie up. Tell her it's about time to go. And now, according to my list, we got to have a closing prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity we've had to share your word tonight. And Lord, be with us as we go forth. Protect us from the enemies that come upon us. Anoint us again, Lord, with your loving grace. and bring us to the point where we are able and willing to stand up and be counted as a member of your army, that we can be the boots on the ground to bring your message forward to the rest of this country and bring this country back to where it was founded. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And as the cartoon says, that's all, folks.